Well, thank you, ma'am. What makes a ministry, what makes a person, what makes anything special and different? Musicians try and look for that, and they call it the X factor. Almost in anything, you all look around and you begin to realize that given people, they are of similar training backgrounds, what makes one different from the other? And it's something that we need to ask ourselves too. What makes one pastor different from another? What makes one speaker different from another? What makes a minister differ from another person? And the hymns have indicated to us that it has to do with the Holy Spirit. And this morning we're going to try and understand this. Let's turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 61. And we kind of catch a glimpse of what this is. And I'm hoping that we can understand this a little bit more personally. In Isaiah 61, there is a prophetic text here that speaks on behalf of the Messiah. And the Messiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me." That is a very, very regular phrase. We have no difficulty with understanding, only with its application. "Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified." The text is clear. It just simply tells us the Spirit of God has to be upon a person. Question is, what's all that about? So this morning, if you were to ask yourself, can you say that the Spirit of God is upon you? Is there a difference where we say the Holy Spirit is in you? And the answer is actually yes. When a person is a believer, God graciously gives to the believer a very special gift. That gift is none other than the Holy Spirit Himself. Okay, the Spirit of God who lives inside me is the same Holy Spirit that is inside you if you are a believer. What's the difference then? What's the difference between the Spirit of God is in me and the Spirit of God is upon me? And I think one of the best ways of looking at it is to look at certain things which we should look for in our faith and in our life. What is it? Okay? And one of the things that we want to take a look at is the particular work that is seen. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because of the Lord has anointed me to do something." The Spirit of God is placed upon the person for a certain work, for a certain ministry, for a certain function, rather than just simply because you belong to the Lord. So there is a functional idea here that we want to look at this morning. And I thought it would be wonderful to understand what it is, what this is all about. We cannot just simply grapple with the idea, of believing in the Spirit of God, but in fact, in reality, we see nothing of that impact. Then what's the point? right? There has got to be some kind of impact, and we need to look at it very, very, very carefully. How do we understand this? So I want to share with you a few things that we ought to look for when we talk about the Holy Spirit being given to us and being given to us to be upon us for ministry. What should we look for? And immediately, I want to say this, you could look at the person himself. This is the most important aspect. If the Spirit of God is not only inside you, the Spirit of God will use you for ministry. He will be upon you as a person. I think this is absolutely important for us to consider. Okay, well, let's take a look at what he... First, we read, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me. 61, he has sent me. Can you see this? So the me part of it will tell you that we are looking at the person. So there's very little point in talking about this, I believe in the Holy Spirit. The question is whether you understand it as a person. What kind of person are you? Now that makes a lot of difference. So if the life of the person is really, really, really no difference whether or not the Spirit of God is in that person, then we have to ask ourselves, is the Spirit of God in the person at all? That's where it begins. It has to be in the life of the person. It actually affects the person. I think this is important. So when I go for my physiotherapist, he tells me this is all wrong with you and everything else, then he will twist and he will bend and he will push and he will press and he will knead. It's painful. Now, I take all the pain. I want to know whether it really works. It's got to work. Otherwise, you go through the pain for nothing. The Spirit of God is upon the person. The first impact is the person himself. Has the Spirit of God impacted you at all? Are you a different person or are you the same person? Now, you've got to watch out. Where is the impact upon you personally? Now, here we go on. The next part of it, this is really, really important. We read, he has anointed me to preach the gospel, the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty. The word preach, the word proclaim is essentially the same. Verse 2, to proclaim. Now, what is the difference? If the Spirit of God is upon the person for a particular ministry, you look for the person and you look for the way in which the person does ministry. And I look at these things and it's so important. My whole perspective of ministry will change. And I'm not just here to tell you this is what a text says. I want to be able to say what I want to say with a sense of tremendous passion in what I believe in. It's not difficult to construct a message. It's not difficult to say, this is what it means, this text, what it means. The challenge is to be able to say it with a conviction that speaks of nothing less than passion for what you believe in. So here is the Spirit of God. It affects the person. One. It affects the way the person sees things, his perspective. Two. Three, watch out. The passion of the person must become obvious. And that's what we want to see. Where is that passion? And so the challenge this week for the people in class in the morning was to go out this weekend and share your faith with somebody. It'll be interesting to see whether there'll be anybody in class on Monday, because they will know to whom did you witness. Now let's look at it. What was your perspective? Was there a sense of passion? I think this is important. My son Chris was telling me that we have a little evangelist in our little family, and her name is called Evie. So she brings a Sunday school book to class. It's about Jesus and his resurrection, his death, resurrection. The first thing she does is ask the teachers, read for me. So whether you like it or not, you have to read, because the student asks you to read. Then she goes around to try to tell her friends too. You know, this is a very, very, very special book. The teacher says, oh, this is just a book. Then she corrects them and said, no, this is not an ordinary book. This is a special book about a special person. I say, good for her. The little evangelist. That's what my son calls her, the little evangelist. And that is something we children need to believe in. This is not just another story. This is about a special story, a special person. It's a special book. That's what passion is all about. When we believe in something special, when we believe in a wonderful Savior, and He is special, and we speak as one, He is special. There is your passion. If you want to preach tidings to people and you don't really believe in what you're doing, where is the passion? Who's going to believe? Who's going to be impacted? When the Spirit of God comes upon a person, you watch this person. When he speaks, you know he believes. You know he teaches it with all his heart. This is his passion. I see that every Sunday when I teach my Greek class. And I am there. I look at the class. It's only passion fruit. Not very exciting. But, you know, you just press on. I am not deterred. I am not discouraged. I see them. And I remember what God said to Jeremiah. Don't be afraid of their faces. Just do what you need to do. And I think this is important. This is how we want to, you know, we want to preach, we want to proclaim, we want to share with people. This is what we believe in, the sense of passion that is there. But you know, when the Spirit of God comes upon a person, there is something else. So that is the person, that is a perspective, that is a passion. That is something that is very, very, very special. And He gives to the person a tremendous sense of purpose. You see, this is the purpose here. We look at this. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Are there people who are brokenhearted? What's my purpose of speaking to you? I want to bring about a healing of the brokenheartedness. Are there people who are captives? Well, let's try and free them. Are there people who are in mourning? Let's bring a word of comfort. Are there people who are literally wearing garments of mourning? We want to give them garments of praise instead. And the sense of purpose must be so real and so powerful. We all can understand this. We all can relate to this, can't we? The Spirit of God is truly upon you. Look for these things. Look for a change in your own life. Your person will change. Your perspective will be different. Watch for the passion coming into your heart, into your soul, into your very spirit. Watch for the sense of purpose that is there. And you cannot help but look at this person and say, well, I want to make a difference. I want to help this person. And the sense of purpose, once it is there, makes us different from the next person. But there is one special thing that is the work of the Spirit of God in particular that you and I cannot effect. And that is the word called power. Without that power of the Spirit of God, none of these things would be possible. And I want to say this in tributes to the Lord and to the Lord's goodness to us all. When I went to Perth last week, Pastor Christopher told me on as he was driving me from the airport, he said to me, "Pastor, you know, Easter offering, Bethel will be giving 30,000 to Bethany." So I said, "Well, thank you very much. That's a nice Easter offering to give." And they said that this is their way of expressing love and support for Bethany 4. Well, then the week went by, and at the end of the week, I was surprised when the treasurer wrote me and said that Bethel was giving over 100,000 to our Bethany 4. Now, that figure by itself may not seem very much, but on average Sunday, the offering collection is about 3,000. On that one Sunday, it's 100,000. So we are looking at 30 times what they have given. Now, this is something that none of us can effect. There is that power of the Spirit of God that must be upon the lives of people, causing them to do something which I didn't even mention. I didn't ask them. I don't go around soliciting funds. I don't ask people to give. I just believe that with the Spirit of God will move hearts to give. People will respond. Well, I thought, this was something that really stumped every one of us. That's equivalent to about 10 months of giving on one Sunday. That's, to me, absolutely amazing. But I was just thinking of the word 30-fold. And I remember what Jesus said, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. This is going to take the work of the Spirit of God in our life. This is what we're trying to do with our student pastors, to give to them this understanding what it means for the Spirit of God to be upon them, so that their persons, that they become different people. Their perspective of life, of work and ministry changes. They become people with a sense of passion in what they believe in. They begin to do the work of the Lord with a tremendous sense of purpose. In 4 years' time, God willing, you will experience, if not beforehand, that power of the Spirit of God that must come upon you. Then we understand what it means. The Spirit of God is upon me. And this morning we must ask ourselves and pause and ask ourselves, do we understand this? If I speak of the Spirit of God upon me, am I changed as a person? And I must ask myself the second question. What do I look for? What am I seeing? Is my perspective of life and ministry different? Again, I ask myself, what does it mean? And I ask myself, is there a sense of passion in what I believe in what I do? Do I live with a sense of purpose? And finally, is that power really there in my life and ministry? Can I see it? This is our challenge. This is our hope. This is our challenge this morning, asking seriously. Is the Spirit of God upon you? Should I not continue to seek the Spirit of God to be upon me for life and for ministry? Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you so very much that you've given to us the Spirit of God to live within us, to comfort us, to assure us that we truly belong to you. This morning we are just challenged greatly to believe that there is a greater purpose of being, his being given to us. And it has very much to do with this special work of the Spirit of God being upon us. We ask that we may seek that. We ask that we may truly understand and be impacted by the Spirit of God and his work upon our lives. In whatever we do, in our school, in our workplace, in our personal life, we pray for that power to become real and to become evident. And Father, we pray that you would bless the alteration and addition project that we have embarked on. We ask you to meet and fulfill all the needs that we have. We ask you to bless this offering now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give a love gift for the Lord's work. And may this great and wonderful God, who has promised to us the Spirit of God, and has in fact given him to us to live inside us, that we may know that we are truly his. May this great God bless us in a special way today. May the Lord Jesus Christ and his grace be given to us, enabling us to find a special focus, a special sense of purpose in our faith and in our life. May the Spirit of God truly empower us and enable us to find a tremendous focus, a wonderful sense of power and passion and purpose in our life, enabling us to be that blessing everywhere to many people, to the glory of the Lord, now and forever.